Under God's word, in Luke's Gospel, chapter 6, and take as our text verse 12. Verse 12 in Luke chapter 6. One of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray, and spent the night praying to God. It's an important thing to pray. Very important thing to pray. People ask, why did Jesus pray? He was the Son of God. Now, Luke's Gospel frequently refers to Jesus praying more than any of the other Gospels. Luke pays particular attention to this. Over and over again, he notes the occasions when Jesus prayed. And really, I suppose, the strength of the church is according to the quality of its prayer meeting. Not the quality of its preaching, the quality of its prayer meeting. Because there is a relationship between the two. You know that in the last century, there's a great Baptist preacher by the name of Charles Haddon Spurgeon, who was tremendously influential in London and throughout the country. And someone asked him one day, What is the secret of your success? And he said, come with me. And before the service, he took them down to the vestry and quietly opened the door. There were 100 people there praying. That was the reason for his success. And there is no other way. There is no other way for success but through prayer. And the Lord Jesus Christ, in his humanity, did that. As a human being, he needed to pray. As a human being, he lived a holy and a righteous and a good life. And you cannot do that without prayer. You just cannot do it without prayer. It's impossible. You're just going through a charade of a Christian life if you're living a prayerless life. And you'll find that the Lord Jesus Christ, therefore, indicated the way ahead to his followers, that they must pray. It saddens me when any Christian neglects the prayer meeting because they are neglecting the lifeline of the church. They are neglecting the lifeline of the church. No other church service is as important and as fundamental as the church prayer meeting. This is the crucial part of the church. This is the heartbeat of the church. And you'll find that the Lord Jesus Christ on this particular occasion went out to the mountainside to pray. Well, you say, why go to the mountainside? Why didn't he go into a cozy room? There were no cozy rooms, you say. The houses were one room. And on a platform in that one room, you rolled out your mattress and that was your bed. And if you have a family of 10 children, and if you've got your mother-in-law and your father-in-law and others living with you as well, and you've got one room, or possibly two rooms, then if you want to have time to pray, you need to go out to the mountainside. You get no peace at home. You get no privacy at home. And in Wales, in the beginning of the last century, quite a large number of the farming community lived in very small cottages. And they had 10, 11 or 12 children. And people going out onto the hills in the early morning would sometimes stumble across a man who was kneeling in the bracken to pray. People went out into the hills to pray in Wales, because they had no privacy in their own homes. That shows you how much our conditions have changed. There is less excuse for us. We can put on the gas fire. We can be by the central heating radiator. We can have comfort when we are praying. Here you find that to pray is an essential activity. And the Lord Jesus Christ, on this occasion, went out to a mountainside to pray, and spent the night praying to God. Now, why did he spend the night praying to God? Why did he do so? Well, first of all, he delighted to have fellowship with God. He delighted to have fellowship with God. God speaks to us through the scriptures, and we speak to him through prayer. And we can have fellowship with him on our own, and we can have fellowship with him together. Many of us have experienced the delight of having fellowship with God together every night this past week as we've prayed for the Faith for Today meetings. To have delight in the company of God, to be in the presence of God, to be calling upon God, and to know what it is to have prayers answered, and to know this week that prayers have been answered. The Lord Jesus Christ, in his humanity, needed fellowship with the Father. In his divinity, he was in heaven and on earth and everywhere at the same time. But in his incarnate state, as a perfect human being, he wanted fellowship with his heavenly Father, and he went out and spent the whole night in prayer. That's the first thing. The second thing, that in his humanity, he needed to pray for wisdom in certain choices that he had to make. And the paramount choice at this moment was the choice of 12 apostles. He had many followers who could be called his disciples. They would follow him from town to town when he was in their immediate district. When he went from Galilee up to Judea, which would be 90 to 100 miles away, well, most of them wouldn't follow him there. But there in Judea, he had other disciples. And then when he came back to Galilee, those in Judea wouldn't follow him. But among all the numerous disciples that he had, he wanted to choose certain men to be apostles. Now, why did he choose apostles? Well, first of all, opposition was increasing, and already there were murmurings among the Pharisees against him, and also among the Sadducees. And he knew, therefore, the significance of this opposition, that it would lead to his death. In other words, his departure from this earth was drawing steadily nearer, as yours is, and as mine is. We are today one day nearer our departure from this earth than we were yesterday. Are you preparing for that? Do you pray every day that the Lord may prepare you for heaven? Do you ask him to prepare you for the pangs of death? Do you ask him to prepare you for the fears that will come possibly at that time? Because, you know, some people are struck down very quickly and they can be overtaken by fear, that they didn't expect it then. They expected it sometime, but they didn't expect it quite so soon. And therefore, if a Christian hasn't been preparing himself, he can be overtaken by fear. Here you find the Lord Jesus Christ. He is spending time in prayer with his heavenly Father. We need to spend time with God, with Christ, with the Holy Spirit. After all, we're going to be with the three blessed persons of the Trinity forever and ever. And we don't want to come into their presence like strangers. We want to know God, the Father, God, the Son, and God, the Holy Spirit, while we are here on earth. And so, you see, the Lord Jesus Christ knows that his departure is drawing nearer. Not only that, he chooses the apostles also because the preaching of the good news must continue after he has left this earth. He has come to bring good news, and he wants certain men to carry on that work. And also because of that, it is important that he should gather around him a band of witnesses. Men who would be able to say, we touched him, we ate food with him, we heard him preach, we saw his miracles, we spoke to him, we conversed with him, we heard his sermons. Witnesses, people who saw him on the cross, people who saw him after his resurrection, men that were witnesses. Now, what is the significance of the choice that he made? What is the significance? You notice we are concerned with the reason why he is praying. He is praying for wisdom in choosing these apostles. Now, what's the significance of the choice? Now, first of all, it is this. He was choosing 12 apostles. And by choosing 12, he was indicating that these were to be the new Israel. The old Israel were descendants of 12 men, sons of Jacob. They were the patriarchs, the head of the 12 tribes. The whole nation was divided into 12 tribes. Now the Lord Jesus Christ is choosing 12 apostles. And whereas the 12 tribes of Israel were physically descended from those 12 men, the Christian church is not physically descended from the apostles. We are not their children by natural generation. We are their spiritual children. You remember, as I've said before, that what is physical in the Old Testament is spiritual in the New Testament. 12 men, the patriarchs, literal descendants, the people of Israel. 12 apostles, spiritual descendants, men and women converted through their witness, through what they preached, through what they wrote. Those form the Christian church. So the Christian church is a continuation of the old people of Israel. The Christian church is the new Israel. It is the Israel of God. This is the terminology used in the New Testament for the Christian church. And so we see, therefore, that the Lord Jesus Christ has been praying for wisdom in choosing men that would be the foundation of this Christian church. Now, secondly, the other significance of his choice was this, that an apostle is a man who has been sent. That's the meaning of the word. A man who has been sent. In other words, he's been commissioned. He is an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. When the Queen appoints someone to be an ambassador in any country, that man represents the Queen and represents Great Britain. And what he does is going to reflect on the reputation of Britain and its monarchy. If that man is unwise in his statements, if that man becomes rolling drunk every night, if that man is deceitful, then it isn't only he that is looked down upon, but the country and the monarch that he represents.